It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, July 31st. I'm Patricia Naft. The Centers for Disease Control just released data looking at rates of human Pavlova virus immunization across all 50 states. Colorado ranked near the top. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
This is Dr. Rachel Herlihy, Director for the Division of Disease Control for the State Health Department in Colorado.
One of the things that we like to make sure that parents know is that the HPV vaccine is an important vaccine to prevent cancer. And we like to make sure that parents know that, you know, it's just as important to get that vaccine, the HPV vaccine, as it might be to get another vaccine like Tdap, that is the pertussis vaccine, which is required for school. So that's an important message, is to make sure that parents know that, even though this vaccine might not be required for school entry, that it certainly still is an important vaccine.
The HPV vaccine's full treatment requires 3 rounds of immunization. Over 60% of girls between the ages of 13 and 17 have started that treatment, but only 40% of boys have. Herlihy says that misconceptions are a big stumbling block towards wide adoption of the vaccine.
There's, you know, this misconception that young women, particularly who get this vaccine, might, you know, go on to have more promiscuous behavior. And that's certainly been studied, and that is absolutely not the case. So I think that there's concerns, myths out there about this vaccine that are really not true.
The vaccine prevents several types of cancers, as well as some sexually transmitted diseases. Herlihy is encouraged by the improving rates of immunization and hopes to see the coverage continue to grow. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Dan Haley is the new head of the state's largest oil and gas industry trade group, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. He took the helm earlier this summer and sat down with State House reporter Benta Berkland to talk about his new role and hopes for the organization and industry.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You spent 20 years in journalism, and you served as the editorial page editor at the Denver Post, and then you moved to the private sector to do media consulting. Talk about this role that you're now embarking on and how you think that media background and savvy will help you.
Sure. Well, I spent the past year as a consultant doing media and political work for several corporate clients, but I also had a lot of oil and gas interest in that. One of my clients was the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, so it was nice that I was already sort of a part of the organization, understood it, began to really understand the industry, and took a liking to it. And I really hope that I can take some of what I learned over the years in media and really better communicate some of the positive aspects of this industry to people in Colorado, so they know that when you talk about oil and gas, you're not just talking about the fuel you put in your car, you're talking about everything that you touch almost every day, from the clothes we wear to the makeup that women put on in the morning to the iPhone or Android that we use throughout the day are all petroleum products, but then also how important it is to our country, energy independence, energy security, all those different aspects, and really use my communications background to tell that story in unique and interesting ways.
This kind of parlays into the next question, but what do you think the biggest challenge is that's facing the oil and gas industry in Colorado?
A couple things. Right now, clearly the pricing environment. It's been interesting to watch, though, how resilient this industry is, to where you're selling basically oil for $80, $90 a barrel and now dealing with $48, $50 a barrel oil, yet they're able to keep production levels in 2015 about where they were in 2014. And across the country in 2015, we're going to have a record-setting year for oil production. So that's been very interesting to watch, the resiliency of the industry and the people who work in it. Also, I think the other thing is community outreach, making sure we're out talking to people in those communities that are impacted by oil and gas, letting them know what's happening in their communities. If we're not out having those conversations, other people will fill that vacuum and give them what I consider bad information, try to scare them, and we don't want that to happen.
Is there anything the industry needs to do differently?
I think we're learning over the years that community outreach is important. A couple years ago, I would have said that's one of the things the industry would need to do different. But we learned, we saw what happened in communities that didn't get the best information, and they banned fracking in 2012 and 2013. That was a big learning moment for the industry to say, we can't just expect to win these elections based on, you know, our past and our stature as the oil and gas industry. We need to go out and educate people.
We've heard some concerns from residents along the Western Slope in Garfield County, where they're worrying that the safety and the monitoring isn't as high a priority as it would be on the front range. Have you heard that concern? Is that something you guys are grappling with?
I have not heard that individual concern. I was on the Western Slope doing some tours. I went out on a rig tour, met with a citizens group, met with some economic development types. Some of the things I did hear were people on the Western Slope are concerned when we're on the front range and we're developing rules that impact the entire state and they have a different business.
Any policy specifics you can shed light on at this stage for next session, or is it too early to say?
In terms of what people can expect to see out of COGA, I think it's a lot of the same things we've been doing in the past. That is that community outreach, getting out into those communities, talking to them about what they're saying with development, being involved in the legislative and regulatory process so we can, you know, hopefully influence a positive outcome for the oil and gas industry. Some of the things we're working on are liquefied natural gas export, the project that's happening on the Western Slope right now. Governor Hickenlooper, in fact, just wrote a letter in support of building a LNG export facility in Coos Bay, Oregon, which would open new markets for natural gas on the Western Slope.
Thanks. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much.
That was Dan Haley. He is the new head of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Construction began this week on a new complex to help the homeless in Grand Junction. The housing facility will have 40 apartments for those in need. It's been spearheaded by a local homeless shelter called Homeward Bound. The focus is long-term housing, but also trying to help. Carter Baer is the chief financial officer for Hilltop, a social service nonprofit that will be helping out with casework. He says that the support casework provides goes a long way to help those affected by substance abuse, domestic abuse, and mental issues.
The case management part of this whole concept is to have somebody there that can help them. It's almost like a safety net. Case management helps those individuals be able to keep going, to keep staying in that position, to be able to get the help that they need when they need it.
Grand Junction is currently grappling with the ACLU over its panhandling laws, and signs around town discourage people from giving out spare change. A new homeless shelter may seem like a strange fit.
I think that the idea behind case management is to have people meet us halfway, have people come part of the way there so that we're not, this really isn't a handout, it's a hand up. So if somebody is coming to Grand Junction or even to Western Colorado saying, well, they're giving out free services, that isn't entirely correct, and it's not the model that my understanding is of this project. This project really is about them making commitments and saying that they're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z so that they can have a place that's more permanent for their needs.
The complex is funded largely through the low income tax credit. The runaway teen from Olathe has been found safe and sound. Shatiria Munger went missing Tuesday, but was found in town Wednesday night. Stay tuned for the Friday morning music mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.